This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, back again. Shady's back, tell a friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Hey, don't forget, our 2022 Summer Golf Tour kicked off this week. Foursomes went on sale this morning at 8 a.m., a foursome for $98.90 at different great golf courses, a different course each and every week. I believe they already sold out. They usually do by the time we come on the air. But head over to charlestonsportsradio.com. Every Monday at 8 a.m. for the next 10 weeks to get your foursome as part of our 2022 Summer Golf Tour. And stay tuned for the different course each and every week. I'm trying to bring it up online, and the form's not coming up, so I assume already sold out. Usually sells out quick. Set your alarm. Get up early. 8 a.m. every Monday all summer long. A new foursome or a new course goes on sale. CharlestonSportsRadio.com. Hey, we were talking about the Sean Payton to Carolina Panthers rumor. The Panthers maybe being interested in Payton a year from now. Well, the story, the man who had the story, is Michael McCarthy for Front Office Sports, and he's joining us now. Follow him on Twitter at MCCarthyREV. Michael is with us now. Michael, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, appreciate the time. So, of course, you had the story at the end of last week about the Panthers having some interest potentially in Sean Payton a year from now. I guess just to start off, the idea of the actual report, from what you've heard and your sources and everything, right, Carolina has this interest in Sean Payton if he were to be interested in coaching again?
Yes. According to my sources, Carolina is very interested in Sean Payton and is willing to wait a year while he dabbles in TV. Right now, Sean Payton currently has offers on the table from both Fox Sports and from Amazon. But everybody I talk to in the league expects that to be a short-term TV retirement, and they expect him to be back coaching on the sidelines for somebody in 2023, perhaps the Panthers.
Yeah, which is that's what's interesting to me, just the 1 year off. What do you believe led to this decision for Sean Payton to just take a year off just to get back into coaching next year? Is it simply, you know, he needs a little bit of a break? Was there a bad ending in New Orleans? Why is Sean interested in coming back to coaching potentially so soon after leaving the Saints?
I think you nailed it. I think he just needs a break. You know, coaching is an all-in profession. These guys burn out. He did 15 years in New Orleans. He was the second longest tenured coach in the NFL. Behind Bill Belichick. As we all know, the Saints have had some tough losses in the playoffs in recent seasons, including some playoff games that they shouldn't have lost, bad calls and et cetera. And I think he just needed a break. You know, this happens a lot in the NFL. You know, Bruce Arians, for example, took a year off from coaching and he called games on CBS Sports. He recharged his batteries, came back to the NFL with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, won a ring. So it happens a lot.
Yeah, now when it comes to coming back for Sean, do you think he'd be willing to do so in that same division? You know, when we look at the Carolina Panthers, obviously they're in that same division as the Saints. If things ended well with New Orleans, would Sean be okay with coming back and now coaching against the Saints if he were to wind up in Carolina next year?
Yeah, that is the trickiest part of the whole thing. You know, would Sean Payton want to coach against, you know, his old team twice a year? And would the Saints be willing to trade him within the division? Don't forget they hold his rights through 2024. But I think what we're seeing is the NFL has become such a money machine that money rules. I mean, I think in the next couple of years, you're going to see the top coaches make $20, $25 million a year. They're going to go to the highest bidder, just like Tom Brady went to the highest bidder on TV. And did I mention that David Tepper is the richest owner in the NFL with a net worth of $16.7 billion? So I think at the end of this train, money is going to talk the loudest.
Yeah, so that's two follow-ups to that. The first one being, when you talk about the money, we always assume Sean Payton and the Cowboys, there's an obvious connection there. So now, if David Tepper enters the picture, you got two big dogs here, right? Jerry Jones and David Tepper potentially both vying for Sean Payton a year from now. Could we be looking at something like that? Do you think that the Cowboys do have this interest, we believe, in Sean Payton, and it could come down to a Jerry Jones, David Tepper, you know, battle a year from now for Sean?
In fact, I do predict that there's going to be a billionaire bidding war for Sean Payton's services. He's a proven winner. He's a Super Bowl winner. He understands offense. He understands quarterbacks. He is the prototype for winning in the NFL. And if you're a team that's on the skids, if you're a team that's had a couple of five-win seasons like the Panthers, or you're a team like the Cowboys that can't get over the hump, he is a guy you could reach out to. But I don't really think it's just going to be them. Don't forget about the Bears. He's an Illinois guy. He was raised in Illinois. And Mike Florio on PFT had him linked to Miami Dolphins. So I think there's a lot of teams that could be interested in Sean Payton.
Talking with Michael McCarthy from Front Office Sports. He's the one that had the story about the Panthers and their interest in Sean Payton. Get to him on Twitter at MCCarthyREV. You know, that's interesting what you mentioned there, because let's say this does come to a head, you know, after this season. The Bears just hired a new coach. So, too, do the Dolphins. How many teams do you think would love to have Sean Payton to the point that they'd be willing to move on from a guy that maybe doesn't deserve to be fired just yet because they can upgrade and get a Sean Payton?
I think at any point in the league, there's 32 teams in the league, I think there's at least six a season that would fire their current coach in a heartbeat if they can get a Super Bowl winner, a proven winner. I think those are the teams that, you know what I mean, you could probably guess them yourself. They're the teams that haven't been to the playoffs in 3 or 4 years. They're the teams that don't seem to have any direction. They're the teams that are undisciplined, that take a lot of penalties. They're the teams that can't attract top talent from other teams. You get a Sean Payton in there, and you're going to attract offensive talent. You're going to have people who want to work for him, who want to play for him.
Yeah, so with that said, with, you know, how much he would be wanted by these teams, what do you think the compensation would be? As you said, the Saints still have him. You know, he was under contract with the Saints. They still have the rights. You have to work out a trade. Do you have any idea what we could be looking at in terms of what it may take to actually trade for a Sean Payton when that time comes?
If it isn't Sean Payton, it's going to be somebody else. But NFL coaches are going to be making $25 million a year. I mean, if NFL announcers make $18 million to $25 million to call games, then you should be paying NFL coaches this money. The NFL is a money machine. It is unparalleled in American business right now in terms of its success. It's not only the number one sports property, it's the number one entertainment property. 77 of the top 100 TV shows last year were NFL games, and the top 25 were all NFL games. So I think you're going to see salaries skyrocket, as they should.
Yeah, certainly. Talking with Michael McCarthy from Front Office Sports. Let me ask you this. You know, for Sean out there, based off of the report, those you've talked to, let's say a year from now, Sean Payton's interested in getting back into coaching, and the Panthers obviously are mutually interested. Is there anything in the meantime Matt Rhule could do to save his job, or if push came to shove, as we've already discussed, right, you got a Super Bowl head coach out there, is there anything Rhule could do, or regardless, the Panthers would say, now this is an upgrade, we would make a move to Sean if he's interested in coming here?
Absolutely. Win ball games. Get the Panthers back in the playoffs. This is a zero-sum game. It's win or lose. If Matt Rhule turns the Panthers into a playoff team this year, he could easily coach there for the next 5 or 10 years, and they forget about Sean Payton. Winning is the great deodorant, said Bill Parcells. It gets away all the vapors, all the bad moods and all the bad feelings. It just cleans up everything. If he wins and he gets him into the playoffs, I think he's safe.
Do you think it would require a playoff appearance in order for Matt Rhule to try to be safe? Or are we looking at, like, hey, if they have 9 wins but miss the playoffs, that's moving far enough in the right direction for him to stick around?
I don't know. I mean, that's ultimately up to David Tepper. I mean, David Tepper as a businessman has a reputation as being very, very competitive. But he's claiming that he's going to give Coach 5 years. So even if he loses, you know, this year, this would be his third season. And according to Tepper's public promise to him, he'll still have another 2 years. But, if I'm Matt Rhule, I don't want to wait 5 years, and I don't want to test some billionaire owner's patience. I want to win right now. I want to get this team back into the playoffs and maybe back into the Super Bowl. Can he do it? Look, that's the trick for any NFL coach. I mean, as I said, I think you know, a quarter of the league at any moment could be fired. It's just the type of existence these guys go through.
Before we let you go, you do a good job covering also just the media side, the sports media side of things. You obviously, based off of the reports you guys have had, you seem to have the insight on Sean Payton. Do you think Sean will be good in the studio or doing games, whatever he's going to do media-wise? Do you think he'll be good in that role this year?
I think he will be. And the reason why, because from what I've seen from him in interviews, he wants to do it. You know, Payton is one of these guys who, when he tackles something, he wants to be the best at it. I don't think he's going to be one of these paycheck guys who comes in, puts his feet up at the TV desk, tells some war stories, collects the big paycheck. You know, those guys don't last in sports TV. They think they're great, but they stink because they don't put the work into it. I think Sean Payton will put the work into it, and I think that'll come across on air.
And what about Drew Brees? Do you think there's a higher chance of Brees playing in the league this year or broadcasting somewhere for the NFL this year?
I think that the chances of Brees playing have just gone through the roof. I mean, right now his stock is about as low as it could be as a broadcaster, right? He didn't impress anybody at NBC Sports. His playoff game was a dud. He's not getting a number one job anywhere, and the number one jobs are where it's at because that's where you make the most money. If I'm Drew, and this is what I think he's going to do, I take the year off, I do something else, and I come back and maybe do TV a second time. One of the funny things about TV is when coaches and players come back a second time, they're inevitably much better at it. Urban Meyer was terrible on TV for ESPN, but when he came back to Fox, he was terrific. Gene Chizik, same thing. So, you know, I think they learned a lot from the experience, and I think the second time he comes back to TV, he's going to be a lot more honest, he's going to be a lot more forthcoming, and that will make him more entertaining.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's Michael McCarthy, a senior writer for Front Office Sports, had the story on the Panthers' interest in Sean Payton if and when he returns to coaching a year from now. And get to Michael on Twitter at MCCarthyREV. Hey, Michael, I see there's, I think, a Mike McCartney who always gets confused for the head coach of the Cowboys. How often do people maybe tweet at you, upset Cowboys fans, thinking you're the coach of the Cowboys?
Every week I get curses and foul comments on Twitter. It's hysterical. I even had the governor of Wisconsin once get me mixed up with the Cowboy coach Mike McCarthy when he was, coaching the Packers. But it's all in fun. I get a kick out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine. He's Michael McCarthy on Twitter, MCCarthyREV from Front Office Sports. Michael, appreciate the time. I appreciate you joining us today.
You got it.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Michael McCarthy, who had that story about Sean Payton. Yeah, there's a sports agent. I think it's Mike McCartney, and he's on Twitter, and he plays into it that he'll tweet back at people pretending he's the coach of the Cowboys, and they still don't pick up on it. But a lot of people confuse him for the actual football coach and tweet, you know, terrible things like, what are you doing? Why are you running it on third down? And then the guy will tweet back, and he'll do it during games, and that still doesn't tip off people. The people will respond to him, continuing the conversation, thinking that Mike McCarthy is actually tweeting at them during a game from the sidelines. I always love seeing those exchanges on Twitter, how dumb people can be. Which, by the way, not to put them in the same category, but I think it was Stephen A. Smith tweeted at the wrong Devin Booker today. He tweeted at the South Carolina Devin Booker who's playing overseas, thinking that was the Devin Booker from the Suns. Now, props to Stephen A. Smith. For a lot of times, people will call out players on social media, not tag them in the tweet so that they may not know about it, or you hope they don't know about it. Props to Stephen A. for trying to include Devin Booker while he, you know, ripped him one, but it was the wrong Devin Booker. And that Devin Booker had a pretty good response. I think he said something like, I had a game in Lithuania. I didn't know I was supposed to play in Phoenix, something along those lines.
He said, sorry I couldn't show up. I had a game in Istanbul tomorrow.
Yeah, which is a good response. And then people still didn't pick up on it. And people were responding to that saying like, wow, what a weak response from Devin Booker. Not getting the joke that this is Devin Booker playing overseas. It's not the guy you watched yesterday. So anyways. By the way, in regards to what Michael McCarthy said there, what we talked about, yeah, I do agree about at least Drew Brees about a broadcaster. If you didn't see the story, and again, I'm a broadcasting nerd. You may not care. I love this stuff. But NBC is moving on from Drew Brees after 1 year. I don't blame him. I thought Drew Brees was lousy in the booth. Not all good football players or athletes are good in the booth. Montana tried it Montana quit mid-year. He was lousy. Right? Just because you're a great player doesn't mean you're going to make a great broadcaster. Drew Brees was not good. So NBC is, they moved on from him after 1 year. Now, you may think, well, what could that mean for Tom Brady? We have no idea how good Tom Brady may be. You probably assumed Drew Brees was going to be good, and after 1 year, NBC already moved on from him. You're giving Brady a 10-year deal. You can't move on after 1 year. I mean, you can, but you're going to have to pay him still $400 million almost. So, yes, that is a concern. But I think what Michael said about Sean Payton also applies to Tom Brady. There are broadcasters that believe just because they played the game, yeah, they know the sport. They don't have to do any prep work, nothing. They show up and they talk about it. I'm on record. I've said it before. I think Tony Romo, from the outside looking in, I have no insight. I think Tony Romo is one of those guys. I think Tony Romo, he golfs during the week. He shows up. He does a game, and he's just having fun, making weird noises and talking nonsense. I don't think he does much work during the week or homework or preps for these games, and I think it shows. I've never been a Romo fan. I never got the love for him. He seems like a really cool guy. I'd love to grab a beer with him. I don't think he's a good broadcaster, my personal opinion. But I think Tom Brady would be more in the mold of a Sean Payton, where Brady, if he's anything like his playing days, I think he's going to be all in. He'll know these teams like the back of his hand. He'll do all of his work like a Kirk Herbstreit does, which why I think Kirk could work in the NFL because he's going to be well-prepared and he's going to know these guys. Even a Troy Aikman, Chris Collinsworth certainly. Now, he runs Pro Football Focus, so that helps him. He knows these guys. He's studying tape. But that's half the battle. In fact, the expression, the saying that they say in the broadcasting world is that they don't pay you for the games. That's the fun part. You get paid for all the prep work. And so it's the same idea, right? If you're a Tony Romo, like, the work that needs to be done is during the week. Showing up, that's the fun part. You watch a football game and talk about it. That's not why they're paying you. You should be paying them to do such a thing. Everyone else in that building's paying to be there. But that's the old expression, that when you get paid as a broadcaster, you're not getting paid to actually be on the air. You're getting paid for all the work leading up to it. The fun part is being on the air. So, long story short, Drew Brees, I'm not surprised. I don't think he was very good. Tom Brady, I think, will be good. I could see Sean Payton being good, and I think it's because both of those guys will put in the hard work like they did when they were coaching and playing. And I don't think Romo was putting in the hard work as a broadcaster. I don't think he is putting in the hard work. I'm sure he did as a player, although many will point to, I remember when he went on vacation, like the week before the playoff game, and then they lost. But Romo, to me, as a broadcaster, is just kind of, you know, show up, call a game, go home, have fun, hang out with my kids during the week, get paid millions of dollars to watch football on the weekends. But anyways, I could go on and on talking about these broadcasters. I'll get to my thoughts coming up on this whole Sean Payton story and Drew Brees and what it may mean for the Panthers coming up in a little bit. In fact, when we return. But first, you can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. Let's first go to the phones. Chris is with us. Chris, what's going on? How are you?
What's up, man? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yes, it's been a long time. What's up?
Yeah, still ready for football. I'm hoping little baseball can win the midweek game and finish off hot. You know, that's the first series they won this weekend. I've been disappointed in them, but if they can get a little hot streak, you never know, you know, finish in a good way. And I was going to tell you some of my favorite announcers. I think Sean McDonough is a good one. I like, of course, Jim Nance. He's just on multiple sports stuff, but I like Sean McDonough. I think he adds a lot of color. And then Todd Blackledge, I think, is good. I don't know if you agree with those or not. But the two of my favorites. And then I want you to also comment on Hayden Brown. Do you think he'll start for South Carolina this year?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they're just trying to fill out their roster. So certainly they could use him. I think Hayden, I like that he's staying, you know, close to home. I like that I have a reason now to watch his games. I wish him the best with South Carolina. And I think he'll be a good player for them. He'll be a good role player. Right? I mean, obviously he was the star at the Citadel. I think his points per game will probably be cut in half. He'll be more of that role player, but I think that's a good fit. Obviously, as a Citadel fan, you know, you saw him closely. I think he could do well in the SEC. Don't expect him to play like he did at the Citadel, posting double-doubles every night. But I think he could be a good role player for them, filling a void. And we'll have to see how the full roster fills out. But I could see him being a starter for South Carolina, certainly.
Yeah, I was hoping so. So what do you think about Sean McDonough and Blackledge?
I like them. I like McDonough. Now, McDonough, and I'm a Red Sox fan, and he used to call the Red Sox games, so I always used to listen to him back in the day. I think he's really good. I didn't think it worked when he was on Monday Night Football. I don't know. For some reason, I see him maybe just because I'm used to him doing more college games. I didn't think like he had the feel of Monday Night Football. But overall, McDonough's a very talented broadcaster. Used to be great doing baseball back in the 90s. And Blackledge I like, too. I like that pairing. I like those two. Yeah, I like McDonough. I mean, he's one of the best.
Yeah, I agree. You got so used to him in college, and then when he did pro, it was a little bit of difference. But he does hockey, too, so he does a little bit of everything. But you'll have to catch up soon, man. But take care and have a good summer, and we'll be looking for you for football, brother.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Appreciate it, Chris. Have a good summer as well. Good to hear from you. Yeah, looking forward to the football season. Yeah, there's just a certain sound, right? Like Brent Musburger was big time. When you heard that voice, even in his older – now he's doing Raiders radio. I've listened to him. I'll be honest, he's more suited for TV. I don't think he can keep up with the action on radio. But when you heard Brent, right, you're looking live, oh, you just knew it was a big deal. And maybe it was just because we were used to it or because of that catchphrase. I don't know. But there are certain broadcasters, when you hear their voice, even like an Al Michaels, you could be out to eat. And if you hear Al Michaels over the speakers at the restaurant, you know, like, oh, wait a minute, there's a big game going on. And maybe, again, just because we're trained, we know Al Michaels always calls big games. So when you hear the voice, you're like Pavlov's dog, you know, oh, like, you know, Al Michaels, this must be a big game. But there's just something about it. When you hear somebody's voice and just the control they have in their voice, you know it's a big moment. Sean McDonough is one of the greats. He is. But that was just a bad Monday Night Football, Sean McDonough, I don't know. There was something off. It didn't feel right. And I think that's why Monday Night Football these last couple of years hasn't felt as big. Same with Steve Levy. Same idea. You hear his voice. You hear him broadcasting. You think of like college football on a, you know, a Pac-12 game on a Saturday. It just doesn't have the same thing. And no disrespect to those guys. They're talented broadcasters. But it just doesn't carry the same weight to me as an Al Michaels or even a Joe Buck on Monday night. I think that'll be big. But I like McDonough. I like Blackledge. McDonough, he was the one that did, you know, the Braves, that walk-off, the Braves in whatever, 92, right? That's McDonough's voice in the call. He was doing NBC, baseball on NBC, all those big games. Him and Costas would do baseball, too, throughout the 90s. McDonough, oddly enough, I think the one sport he doesn't really do is basketball, and his brother was a former GM in the NBA, and I think that's the one sport that McDonough at least hasn't done in a long time. Maybe he does college basketball for ESPN. I don't think so. I don't know. But point being, yeah, he does all the sports. He does a good job. And Nance does multiple sports, and he's the main guy at CBS. I've said before in the show, I think maybe Ian Eagle's better at CBS. I think Kevin Harlan's probably better at CBS. I don't think Jim Nance is the best broadcaster at CBS, but he's another, you know, he's a legend. He's one of the best going, too, right now, and does a lot of big games. And I'll say, I think Nance has that feel, right? When you hear Nance, I think you know it's a big moment. He does the Final Four. He does big-time golf events. He does the NFL. He does a lot of Super Bowls. I think he has that command, too, that when you hear Nance, you know it's a big-time deal. Anyways, we always seem to get on the topic of broadcasters. I could talk about them all day. But when we come back, I'll give my thoughts on this Sean Payton to the Panthers' potential idea. And we'll do that next. Plus, we'll get to Matt Rhule's comments. Matt Rhule awkwardly had to address this over the last couple of days. We'll get to that next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
The highest mountain, a jump off, nobody gonna know. Can't you see? Oh, can't you see? What that woman, Lord, she been doing to me. Can't you see? Can't you see? What that woman, she been doing to me.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. We were just joined last segment by Michael McCarthy from Front Office Sports, who had the story. He was the one that broke the news of potential Panthers' interest in Sean Payton. I'll give you my thoughts coming up in just a moment. Plus, we'll hear from Matt Rhule, the coach right now who awkwardly has to answer those questions for Carolina. Real quick, last thing I'll say on broadcasting, because the conversation carried into the commercial break. I'll always say, I think the best show, we were just talking about these guys, I think the best show on TV when it comes to sports are the NBA guys on TNT. I don't know what they call it. Inside the NBA? Is that what it is? Yeah, Inside the NBA? I don't care what the name is. I love watching those guys. So I was watching some of the NHL coverage this weekend because I was into the games, and certainly I was watching the Rangers last night to see if I would win a bet here on the show. And they're TNT as well, right? So it's the same company. But the big difference to me is, I mean, look, you can't duplicate a Charles Barkley, no doubt. But when it comes to hockey, those guys like Wayne Gretzky, I'm sorry to say, I know he's the great one. Everybody knows Wayne, and he doesn't bring much to me. He doesn't add much there at the table. He doesn't really do much. The difference is that why I think people love Barkley is, yes, he's funny, he's comical, but he'll say whatever. It's what Trent was talking about earlier with Pat Beverly this morning. I appreciate guys who are willing to go out there and speak their mind, even if it's going to tick people off. That's the difference to me. I was watching the NHL coverage. They weren't giving me much. There wasn't anything, any big takeaway. And you don't need to be as funny as Barkley, Kenny Smith, Shaq. Good luck. That's hard to duplicate. Those guys are longtime friends. They just goof around. You don't want to try to be like them. But I was just thinking the difference. You know, they'll rip Barkley and are you kidding? Shaq, they're almost too negative, right? They'll rip everybody. I was watching the NHL coverage. You had these teams blow series leads. The Penguins blew that series. You had the Maple Leafs haven't won a playoff series in 18 years. And I don't know, maybe it's because hockey, we always say Canadians are very friendly, and hockey is very, it's filled with Canadians. I don't know, that's the thing. If it's hockey's too nice of a culture. But these guys, too kind up there. You got to start ripping some people. Right, there were some bad losses in the NHL this weekend.
Paul Bissonnette, Biz, as they call him. Like, he's on that panel. I think he sits right next to Waino. Mm-hmm. He is by far the best. I see what they're doing with him, trying to make him like the Charles Barkley. He is too nice, but he's an electric factory. He hosts the number one sports hockey podcast. I believe it's called Spittin' Chicklets.
Yes.
Number one hockey podcast in the world. He is hilarious. I really like this guy.
I do like that guy. That's true. When they first started the NHL coverage this year, I was checking out that show as a broadcasting nerd to see how they are. And yeah, he was the one. He did stand out to me. And then I asked my hockey buddies, and they said, "Yeah, he's from this podcast. He's a funny guy. I do like him." But a lot of times, you know what? Those guys, we've run out of those guys, at least in the hockey world. And I'm a casual hockey fan. But like Mike Milbury was one of those. And then he got himself in some trouble. He's gone. The enforcers on the ice that then get into the broadcast booth, they don't care. They'll say whatever. But they're usually run out of the business. Like Milbury was. Who was the other one? Jeremy Roenick or Renner, whatever his name is. Jeremy Renner's the actor. You can tell I'm not a big hockey fan. Anyways, my two cents from watching all the games over the weekend. In regards to Sean Payton, so we got this story from Front Office Sports. The Panthers would be interested in Sean Payton if he wants to return to coaching next season. The Panthers would love to hire him. Here was Matt Rhule had to be asked. This is always awkward, right? You hold the job. The report doesn't come. It's not Matt Rhule. He shouldn't have to answer this. It should be David Tepper. But Matt Rhule is the guy that stands in front of the media. So, of course, they asked Matt Rhule. Here's what Rhule had to say about this report and the speculation about Sean Payton to Carolina.
With regards to that report, you know, I mean, the first I heard of it, Dave called me and told me that, you know, that it was going to come out, you know, that, you know, something that they had called him and that there was nothing to it. You know, I know Dave Tepper well enough to believe that he wouldn't be talking to another coach right now. You know, when he came to my house 2.5 years ago, he told me that this was a 5-year rebuild. I mean, that's what he said to me.
So just a handful of takeaways from this whole situation and that audio there from Matt Rhule. Number one, the Panthers said that they wouldn't pursue another coach under contract. Very important wording. They didn't say we wouldn't pursue another coach, right? They said we wouldn't pursue. No, this report, this is crazy. We would never pursue another coach under contract. And Sean Payton is technically, right, under contract with the Saints. You'd have to go trade for him. That doesn't mean much. Or if you want to tell me as long as Matt Rhule's under contract, they're not going to look for his replacement. They would fire him first like they did Ron Rivera. Still doesn't mean much to me. That would be like saying if you were in a relationship and the person you're in a relationship with would say, right, I would never cheat. Which is great. That's what you want to hear. Doesn't mean the relationship's never going to end. There are other ways to end the relationship. Same idea here. If you were to go talk to Sean Payton while he's under contract and Matt Rhule's under contract, in this relationship, that could be seen, I guess, the same idea as cheating. But it still doesn't mean like they're not just going to fire Matt Rhule and then go hire somebody else. So when that statement's put out, doesn't carry much weight to me. Like, okay, that's great. You're not going to do that part, but you could still do the other part. Just like if you're in a relationship with somebody, they may not cheat on you, but they could still dump you. It doesn't matter. And I like, Matt Rhule. I like what Matt Rhule did in this clip. He mentioned 5 years. When David Tepper came to my house to hire me, he told me this is a 5-year turnaround. I love that Matt Rhule puts that out publicly, because now you kind of throw David Tepper under the bus. Now if he's fired after this year, we can point back to this audio where Rhule could say, hey, you told me 5 years, and then you pulled the rug out from underneath me after 3 years. So this is kind of like almost like a last-ditch effort to try to save yourself, that you float that out there now thinking like, this could buy me more time. Or at least it could help save face if and when you are terminated. But I would also say 5 years in the NFL, that's an eternity. That's way too long. How often do we see one-year turnarounds? The Bengals just did it. They went from last place to the Super Bowl in one offseason. Every year we get a team that goes from last to first in the NFL. It happens every year. It's going to happen this year. Somebody that finished in last place is going to be in the playoffs this year. It happens every year because in the NFL, it is that easy to turn things around. So if you're a new owner, right, if I'm a Panthers fan and the new owner comes in and says, well, let's hope in 5 years we'll be good. I said, no thanks. You need a better plan than that. 5 years in the NFL? I mean, that's the length of a lot of guys' career. You're turning over a whole roster in 5 years. That's way too long. So if I'm a Panthers fan, I really don't like this idea of hearing, like, wait a minute, they went into this thinking it'd take 5 years? It shouldn't. But I understand why, for Matt Rhule, you put that out there publicly. So it throws Tepper under the bus a little bit and buys you a little bit of time, or at least gets the heat off of you when the media can say, well, you know, he was told he had 5 years, so of course you're not going to be good yet by year three. But the key to all that is quarterback. That's what the Bengals had when they went from the outhouse to the penthouse this past year. You need a quarterback, and the Panthers still haven't solved that position yet. They really haven't tried hard enough either. Teddy Bridgewater was a lousy solution. Sam Darnold, I like the idea, but I would have also drafted somebody last year. This year, right, you draft a guy in the third round. You bring back Cam Newton last year. You don't want to trade for Baker. No wonder it's going to take you 5 years, because you're being way too patient at the quarterback position, hoping that someone's just going to fall in your lap. 5 years is way too long for some sort of plan in the NFL. College sports, nowadays, we don't even wait 5 years, but I can understand it more in college when it's about recruiting. You got to give a coach maybe 4 years in college to get his full roster in the building. In the NFL, give me one offseason, I got to see some improvement. They've won 5 games 3 straight years. No improvement. Meanwhile, other teams are going from worst to first in one offseason. Show me something. But I like Matt Rhule's response, not only to mention the 5 years, but also to say, right, David Tepper, he would never do such a thing. So now, if David Tepper does such a thing, it's like, ooh, right, makes Tepper look worse. Like, oh, he told Matt Rhule he would never do that. He told him he was going to give him 5 years. Now he's firing him after 3 for Sean Payton. So it puts the heat. Matt Rhule's putting the heat. He knows what he's doing. He's putting the heat on David Tepper. Now, David Tepper, look, he wouldn't care. David Tepper doesn't care. He's not running an organization to look good amongst the fan base. He's trying to win games and make money. So he wouldn't care. He's not going to not fire Matt Rhule because, oh, wait a minute, this could make me look bad. He said I would give him 5 years, and now I'm firing him after 3. Because the classic line is, and this is why I always say coaches, GMs, they can be honest to you in the media because they can then always use the line later on. Well, that was the truth that day, but since then things have changed. Right? Whenever somebody asks, like, are you going to trade so-and-so? And they'll give you some BS answer because they're afraid that they're going to be caught in a lie when they know they're actually trading that player. Or they're not going to trade, right? They tell you they're not going to trade him, and then they're going to trade him. The obvious fallback you can always use is, well, on that day, right, that was the case, and then things changed since then. I didn't lie then when I told you that. Things have just changed. We've got more information since that point, and therefore we made a change. But my other takeaways on all this is that Matt Rhule got the dreaded, that's right, dreaded vote of confidence. It's never a good thing. The Panthers said, all right, Matt Rhule is going to be our coach. We're not interested in Sean Payton. It's never good when a team has to say such a thing. If you have to confirm that your coach is coming back, it's not a good sign. The Sixers had to put out a report this past week to confirm Doc Rivers will be back next year. That's not a good thing. You don't do that when things are going well. When Brady was in his prime winning Super Bowls and under contract, the Patriots were not putting out press releases after winning a Super Bowl saying, hey, Tom Brady's going to be returning as our quarterback next year. Not necessary. The Chiefs don't have to tell you Patrick Mahomes is going to be back as our quarterback next year because you already know. That's not worth saying. But when there is a question, you have to answer said question. And it's never good when there's already that question. When you're questioning, is this guy going to be here? How long is he going to be here? Should he be here? That's not good. Now, I saw an article, I think it was Business Insider, actually looked into the data. They found that 20% of coaches are fired within 1 month of the dreaded vote of confidence. A fifth of the coaches. When somebody speaks publicly and says, oh, this is our guy, he's here for the long, within 1 month, 20% of them are fired. That's how little those words usually mean. 10% are fired within 2 weeks. And then, of course, most of them are fired within a year. Usually when you get that vote of confidence, what it means is you're probably a year away from getting fired, unless you really turn things around. It's like in a relationship when somebody's giving you warnings. And if you don't change those things, right, you're probably heading towards a divorce or a breakup. You better address those things. The vote of confidence is really more like a warning as more than it is a backing. SB Nation had an article. I found an article from a decade ago, 2012, and they looked into it. And they found the 5 college football coaches that were fired all got the vote of confidence within the last about 8 months. Right, they got fired at the end of the year, and by the summer, between the summer and the end of the year, same idea. Their AD, school president, whoever it was, backed them up too, just to fire them a few months later. So when the Panthers put out that story last week, no, Matt Rhule's our coach, he's going to be here. Anytime you have to answer that question, it's not a good thing. And Business Insider found that 20%, look, Matt Rhule, there's no games being played right now. He's not going to be fired within a month. but it just proves how little those words mean. 20% of coaches that get the vote of confidence are fired within 1 month. For Matt Rhule, it may be 1 year, especially if Sean Payton is available. We talked about this with Mike McCarthy last segment, right? If you have an opportunity to upgrade, you're going to do it. So what does this year need to look like for Matt Rhule? I mean, it may not matter. They may still be willing to move on to Sean Payton regardless. But you obviously got to win more than five games. You got to show some improvement. And I would say for Carolina, probably at least 8 wins, right? Close to a winning. There's no more 500 in the NFL anymore with 17 games. Can you get to 8? Can you have a winning season with 9? This team's not good enough, I don't believe, to make the playoffs. I don't think they're good enough to even win 9 games this year. But you got to show some improvement finally. Increase that 5 win total. Can you get to at least 7? I don't think that's a big enough climb. Closer to 8, 9, try to have a winning season. We'll see. But I tell you what, if you're a Panthers fan, you should probably be excited at least by the idea that, hey, maybe Sean Payton will be our next head coach. That would get you excited. Now, while we're on the subject of former Saints employees that may be making a return, let me just touch on Drew Brees real quick. We already talked about his broadcasting career and how he's out after 1 year at NBC. This is what I don't like about Drew Brees, or what I don't like about what's going on this weekend. His last two tweets, when Jarvis Landry signed with the Saints, Drew Brees said, man, signing Jarvis Landry makes me want to come back and play again. Great additions, leaders and players. Okay, right, seems harmless. Then his next tweet is, despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all the above. I'll let you know. Now, maybe this is all tongue-in-cheek, but you're giving me back-to-back tweets referencing the idea of coming back and playing, and specifically, potentially, for the Saints. I do not like this idea. I said this about Russell Wilson a year ago when he put out the list of teams he'd like to play for. I don't like the idea of going after a job when somebody already has the job. Brees, you had your career in New Orleans. You decided to retire. Jameis Winston now has stepped in as the starter. I don't like this idea of flirting on social media like, hey, maybe I'll just come back. Because now Winston's sitting there like, well, what does this mean for me? And you're holding him up and holding him hostage to a certain degree. And Brees just kind of flipping like, maybe I'll, you know, I sat out a year. Maybe I'll come back and play now. By the way, I think he retired at the right time. I don't think he has much left in the tank. And I also hate when these quarterbacks, when they waffle like this. Don't put out a tweet that, hey, maybe I'll come back and play. Either tell me you're playing or you're staying retired and stay committed. I'm tired of these guys going back and forth. With that said, if you're a Carolina Panthers fan and Brees wants to come back and play this year and the Saints aren't interested, would Brees be an upgrade for Carolina? I don't think he's good enough at this point in his career for what you need in Carolina, but he probably is already, at this point, still an upgrade over Sam Darnold. Could we, by 2023... have Sean Payton and Drew Brees running the Panthers? Who knows? But as a sports fan, my thought is, if you're going to retire, stay retired. At least Tom Brady was only 40 days, and he came back. It was hardly like it ever happened. But I'm tired of these guys retiring, and then maybe I will come back. Maybe I'll stay retired. I don't know. I got to think about it. Make a decision and stick with it. Be decisive. When we come back, I'll circle back to my thoughts on the NBA action from over the weekend. And we'll continue to wrap up your Monday afternoon. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. We've been talking broadcasters as we often do here on the Morrow Midday Show. Someone on the text line said, what about Greg Olsen? I like Greg Olsen. I've been a fan of Greg Olsen. I also feel bad for Greg because he's bumped up to the number one booth this year. Now, look, he's only put in a few years. I feel even worse. It was a guy who was grinding for 20 years to get this opportunity. But he gets bumped up to the number one booth this year, we assume. And then it looks like Brady's just going to take that spot a year from now. So enjoy it while you can, Greg. Plus, now Drew Brees, there's rumors about him doing games for Fox. He'd probably come in and steal that number one booth. So I kind of feel bad for Greg. It's you know, like recruiting over somebody's head. It happens. But I like him as a broadcaster. I like him with Burkhart. I think they're good. I'll be honest. I don't know if he's number one booth, like an Aikman or a Collinsworth. I don't know if Olsen's there yet, but I do like him. I think he does a good job. I like listening when him and Burkhardt do a game. It was a wild weekend in sports. We had seven game sevens, the most we've ever had in a weekend. Now, five of them came from the NHL. Four of those were one-goal games. In the NBA, we got two blowouts. My main takeaways from the NBA, for the Bucks, they missed Chris Middleton. For the Suns, Chris Paul just seemed to wear down and wear his team down, which is what he tends to do. He has lost four straight game sevens, and Chris Paul now has blown five series when he's led 2-0. He has lost five series when up 2-0, including last year's NBA Finals, this series with Dallas. No other player has been in more than three of those series, up 2-0 and losing. Chris Paul's five. It's almost twice as many as anybody else. And I think he's just one of those. In fact, it's funny, in this group text, I'm in a group text with some buddies, and you know, when I'm on the air, I can't participate, but I see all the texts coming in. They're talking about days off. How many days do you get off at your job? And I see the different answers. Some of my buddies, their jobs, there's no limit. You can take as many days off as you want. Other guys don't get many days off. In this industry, not a lot of days off. And it's the idea of, for Chris Paul, right, we've all worked for a boss that can be very demanding, and it pushes you, and it's a grind at work, and it kind of wears you out. And then there's the other companies that are maybe a little bit looser and, hey, just as long as you get your work done and you can work from home on Fridays and take a half day on this day, and you know, they make sure that you don't burn out and that the employees are happy, and because that leads to better work function. Chris Paul is like that old school demanding boss that is always going to ride you, and he just wears you down. You can't wait for the weekend. You need a stiff drink when you get home at Friday at 5 p.m. I think that's Chris Paul. And so the longer the season goes and then therefore the series goes, I think the reason why his teams blow so many series leads is they're just kind of worn out by this guy. By the time you reach a Game 7, or by the time you go through a full season and reach the conference finals and then a Game 7, and it's like, man, this is enough of this. And that seems to be what happened to the Suns and to other teams in the past. I think part of it, too, when you look at the Suns and the Bucks, is that they both made runs to the championship last year, then they come back this year. And it's like kind of what the Braves are dealing with right now. And I say it all the time about defending World Series champs. Very few defending World Series champs have a good follow-up, especially in the first half of the next season. Because baseball is a little bit different because it's so much about the pitcher's arms. Right? But you just played an extra month. Teams are sitting at home. You played an extra month. You have one less month of off-season to rest and relax. Now you come back for another season. You're going to be behind the eight ball, of course. Same idea here. Bucks and the Suns were the last two teams playing last year. Other teams are at home resting up. And then they come back this year, and here they are back in the playoffs and in the second round, right? And they're playing a lot more games than a normal season over the past 18 months, and maybe you just wear down. I think Chris Paul wore down his team. I think no Chris Middleton certainly didn't help the Bucks. That was a huge loss this series. But I also think what I find interesting by those two Game 7s yesterday, I think the NBA has changed quickly. Those were the two teams in the finals last year, Milwaukee and Phoenix. And we could debate if they were actually the two best teams. Look, they were the last two teams left standing. It was a good finals. The Bucks won. They finally got their championship. I don't want to take anything away from them. But when you look at them this postseason, specifically this round that they just got eliminated in, the big difference was the small ball that the Mavericks and the Celtics used and the way that they played and the amount of three-point shooting. Yesterday, the Celtics dominated the Bucks from beyond the arc. In fact, the Celtics set a record for threes in Game 7. But the Mavericks and the Celtics were the top two teams in the playoffs in three-point attempts. And they're two of the teams left standing. They're also top three in fewest threes allowed. So they're limiting your threes while hitting their threes. It's simple math. It's what the analytical crowd is preaching these days. Let the other team take twos. You take threes. Do the math. Threes add up a lot more and quicker than twos. And when you look at these teams, right, the size did not do well this playoffs. The Nuggets with Jokic, the Sixers with Embiid, the Suns had the bench Ayton yesterday. They're out of the playoffs. Gobert and the Jazz were a disaster. The big guys have not had a great postseason. If you want to include Giannis as one of those guys, okay, he's now going home. He's done. Right, the size isn't winning, but instead these teams with these talented wing players that are athletic, quick, can shoot the threes. They go small. They beat you up and down the floor. It's the Mavericks and the Celtics specifically doing that to the Suns and the Bucks, the two teams that were in the finals a year ago. And so it shows you how quickly things – last year they were the two best teams. This year – they couldn't keep up with the Celtics and the Mavericks, and they're going home. And when it comes to Luka, this dude is a star, right? We already knew that, but what we were waiting to see was him winning these huge games in the playoffs. and we thought he wouldn't be able to do it on his own. Michael Jordan couldn't even do it early on in his career on his own. Luka is. The guy's 23 years old. He's in the Western Conference Finals already, and he has the second highest point-per-game average in NBA playoff history for his career already. He's the future, and I think he's the now. I don't think that's being hyperbolic. Jordan, you knew, was the future, but he wasn't the now at the time in the 80s. That was the Celtics, the Lakers, the Pistons. You had to wait for Jordan's turn once we reached the 90s and Bird retired and Magic retired, and okay, now Jordan can take over, and he truly is the best player in the league. You could see the talent early on, but he wasn't quite ready for the takeover. Luka, you can see the talent, but I think he is ready for the takeover, and I think he's the best player left in this postseason. And I think that's pretty clear. We'll wrap up your Monday when we come back. More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Wrapping up your Monday on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. You can always take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just simply stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Download the app and listen to the show from anywhere in the world, live or on demand. Podcasts are also available through the app. Just search ESPN Charleston in the App Store or search ESPN Radio Charleston wherever you listen to your podcast. And the podcast is also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page in case you ever miss anything from the show. Appreciate listeners hanging with us from at least 9 different states and multiple countries as we start another week with a lot going on. I realized we talked so much about Arby's and broadcasters and whatnot. I realized I didn't even get to something I teased earlier about telling you the best coaching job and the worst coaching job in college football. So we're going to have to do that tomorrow. I want to make sure I have enough time to dive into that. We'll do that on the show tomorrow. Also, we'll have some quarterback questions to answer, some NFL quarterback questions that need to be answered. We'll do that on the show tomorrow. Of course, the top 10 list and plenty more going on tomorrow on the show. The conference finals in the NBA begin tomorrow night. Draft lottery is tomorrow night. So that's always fun to see as well. And we'll see in the meantime if the Braves can get it going. They play the Brewers tonight. And whatever else happens, we'll be here to talk about it on the show tomorrow. If you ever miss anything from the show, check it out on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. In the meantime, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. It's more Midday Show on ESPN Radio.